Well, before we come to the baptism itself, I'll have some thoughts to share from God's word in the Bible. First, I'll pray once more as we hear God speak to us through his word. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for that hope we could sing about in that last song, for that security that we can have even in the face of tragedy and sadness and even death, if we know Jesus as our Saviour. We praise you for that day that is coming soon, where all of us as Jesus' people who trust in him will be changed to be like him when we see him face to face and will enjoy that eternal life in his presence forever. We thank you for how you've led Charlotte in her life to know that hope as hers. We thank you for how you've worked through this church here over many years, over 80 years, to bring people to that knowledge of that glorious hope we have in Jesus. And we ask that you would continue to work through us as a church here. You'd help us to bring that good news of hope to this community around us. And we pray that now, as we hear you speak to us, and as we celebrate this baptism together, that each of us would know something of that hope that we can have in Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen. Well, we're almost at the end of 2019. And 2019, in many ways, has been a year of great human achievement. And if I say those words, 2019 has been a year of great human achievement, you may think of this man, Eliud Kipchoge, who you may remember earlier in the year, he achieved that amazing task of completing a marathon in under 2 hours, which is phenomenal, a marathon in under 2 hours. But there are other great human achievements of this year that didn't get the same press coverage that they deserved. So, for example, this here is Hiroshi Kuroda, who's a Japanese chef. And do you know what he achieved this year? He successfully achieved the hand making of an egg noodle that was 184 meters long. He made it by hand, 184 meters of egg noodle. 184 meters is also, coincidentally, the amount of distance that I can run in just under 2 hours. And then another great achievement of this year, this man here, Johnny DeFrancesco, he's an Australian chef. And this year, he achieved what many thought was impossible, when he made a pizza whose toppings included 154 different types of cheese. 154 different types of cheese on a single pizza. I'm sure you will all agree that is a great human achievement. And in the A-level history syllabus of the future, or even in the degree that Caroline would have studied in the future, 2019 will be remembered as the year of the unnecessarily cheesy pizza. But we're here this morning to celebrate a great human achievement. Now, I'm not at this point talking about any of Charlotte's many achievements that we could talk about this morning, and nor am I talking about the achievements of her parents, Pete and Louisa, who, after years of experimenting on their first three children, perfected their parenting techniques with their fourth. Although, again, there's much we could say about that I'll be happy to talk to you privately later. But we are here to celebrate a great human achievement, a great achievement of Jesus, the one whose birth we remember at this time of year, the one who's mentioned on these banners by the side of Johnny DeFrancesco and his pizza, the Son of God born to us at Christmas. And it's when we think about him for a short while this morning, it's then that we'll see why what Charlotte is doing in being baptized is so important, and so exciting, and so amazing, and so wonderful, and so incredible. We need to think about what Jesus has achieved. for his people. And I want to look just at two different verses from the Bible briefly this morning. They both appear on the screen. If you've got a Bible and you want to turn there, you can do. But the first one is from Paul's letter to the Galatians. And it's in chapter 2 and verse 20. And this is what the Apostle Paul says about himself and his testimony of how he's lived. And he says these words, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And it's particularly those last words I want to think about for a few moments. "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That was the Apostle Paul's testimony. That's Charlotte's testimony this morning. That's my testimony, the testimony of many of us here. "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The verse that points us to the great achievement of Jesus for his people. An achievement that, like many achievements, begins with love. Many great human achievements driven by love. And I don't know Eliud Kipchoge personally, but I assume that he loves running. Would that be a fairly safe assumption? If you're going to train to be able to run a marathon in less than 2 hours, you probably love running. And equally, I assume that Hiroshi Kuroda loves really long egg noodles. And I also assume that Johnny DeFrancesco loves cheese, but can't quite decide which of the many varieties of cheese he loves the most. But here we don't have to assume, because we're told that what Jesus achieved was driven by love, that the Son of God loved us. And if we pause to think about it, that's a surprising love in many ways, quite an amazing love. When we think about who he is and who we are, that he's the Son of God, that God existed throughout eternity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is the second person of that Trinity, the one who was there when the world was made, and the whole world was made through him and for him, and he is now far above all human authorities and powers and rulers. King of the whole universe, and he cares about us. He's concerned about us here in South Wales this morning, that he loves us. And in not just in a vague, distant way, but in an active, concerned way, the Son of God who loved us. And even more surprising when we think that actually we haven't really made it very easy for God to love us in lots of ways. Our lives are very messy. And when God created humans, he gave us a vision for how we should live in his world. And we like to make our own vision. We make our own plan of what we want life to look like. We go our own way rather than what God has said. I was baptized when I was 19. And most of my life before that moment, I had basically ignored Jesus. I'd been to church quite a lot, and I'd talked about Jesus in the songs and the prayers, but I'd ignored him. I wanted to live life my own way, not his way, even though he's the one for whom I was made. And we all have that kind of attitude in different ways, an attitude where we think in our hearts more about ourselves than about the God who made us and in whose image we're made, that attitude that the Bible calls sin, and that attitude that means that it's a bit surprising that God's response is a response still of love. For what we might expect instead, perhaps for God to ignore us dismiss us, shut us out of his presence, away from his goodness, not to enjoy anything that he's made that's good. But instead, what we find is in his love, the Son of God came down to this earth, born as a baby. He grew up. He was once Charlotte's age. He was once my age. He grew up to be a man, to accomplish and achieve something amazing for his people. What's described in this verse as when he gave himself for us. It's pointing ultimately to what he did when he died on the cross, when he sacrificed himself for the good of his people. That idea of sacrificing oneself for the good of others, we all know stories of that happening. And we've had it even recently with those horrifying events in London of that terrorist attack that would have been much more serious, we imagine, if it hadn't been for that incredible heroism of those few people who were willing to risk their lives to stop the terrorists acting anymore. And it's an incredible act of heroism. And if I'd been there, I'm not sure that I would have been the one to take a narwhal tusk off the wall and challenge the terrorists. I don't know what I would have done. And I don't want to take away from it any of that heroism and courage this morning. But what we see in Jesus is something far, far greater when he sacrificed himself for us. When he died on the cross, not to spare us from a terrorist attack that we'd be the innocent victims of, but to spare us and rescue us from what we deserve, what we all deserve for how we've lived in this world that God has made, for our attitude towards God, how we haven't respected him as we should have done, how we haven't listened to him as we should have done, the attitude the Bible calls sin, and the consequences of that sin, that we deserve to face God's punishment. That Jesus lived a perfect life that we failed to live, then died that death, taking on himself our sin and our wrongdoing and the consequences of that sin, our guilt, the punishment we deserve, taking that on himself. And what he achieved in doing that for his people who trust in him, what he achieved, forgiveness. All that sin that separates us from God, stops us enjoying him and this world that he's made properly. All that sin taken away, dealt with, wiped clean as we trust in Jesus. What he achieved, that relationship with God that we can enjoy through him. That security that Charlotte was talking about in her testimony, of knowing that security of his care for us now and forever, of that hope that we can have even in the face of tragedy and death, being part of a new family of his people, brothers and sisters, children of God. What Jesus achieved when he died on the cross for his people, when he gave himself for us. And that's why this is so exciting this morning, because it reminds us of what he has done when he gave himself for his people. That when Charlotte goes into this baptistry area in a moment, it's not about her adding something to her spiritual CV, or like there's some kind of global league table of Christians and you get 5 points every time you read the Bible, and you get 4,000 points for baptism, and you get 15 points for every cheese you can fit on a pizza. It's not about that. It's about Charlotte saying, I belong to Jesus. He's made me one of his people. I'm trusting in his work. I'm trusting in his achievements. I'm trusting in what he has done. And for those of us who've been baptized, that's been for us, it's It is an important step of obedience. We're doing it in obedience to what Jesus has told his people to do. And it is an important act. And if there is anyone here this morning who is trusting in Jesus but hasn't been baptized, I hope that what happens this morning will prompt you to think about why. And I'd love to chat with you later. It's an important thing, an important act of obedience. But more excitingly, it's a response to someone else's obedience, to the obedience of Jesus and what he's done for his people. It points us to his work, not to Charlotte and the things she's done, or to me and the things I've done, but to Jesus and what he's done. And what we'll see in a moment is a demonstration of what Jesus has done for his people. And some of you are looking very nervous because of how close I am, but I'll try not to fall in. Some of you may not have been to a baptism like this before. What's going to happen is Charlotte is going to go down into the water. And it should remind us of how Jesus died on the cross and then was buried in the ground. And then Charlotte is going to come back up out of the water to remind us of how Jesus rose again to new life, mission accomplished, achievement completed. That in baptism, those who are baptized say, "His death is my death. I've been crucified with Christ," is what it says on the screen in that verse. "His death is my death, my sin, my past, my wrongs dealt with by Jesus at the cross. And his burial, my burial. His resurrection, my resurrection. Raised to new life with him to follow him as part of his people." That's why what Charlotte is doing today is so amazing and so important and so incredible and so exciting. Because it points us to what Jesus has achieved for his people who trust in him when he gave himself for us and rose to new life. That's what it points us to. And because it points us to what he's done, it can also come with a promise this morning. The second verse I want to speak about just more briefly. A verse where Jesus makes a promise that's not specifically about baptism, but is very relevant to what's happening here today. Where Jesus says to his friends, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." When Jesus sees his people being baptized, his special people that he loved and gave himself for, he sees his special people starting to enjoy the fruit of his work, of what he accomplished on the cross. He sees his people standing with him and the rest of those that he gave himself for. He sees it as something amazing in the lives of his special people. People that he won't be ashamed of in the presence of his Father in heaven. And those who acknowledge people before others in baptism and in life, it's a sign that we're included, if you like, on a VIP list for the presence of God. That Jesus says of those who trust in him and confess him before others, "These people are with me," he says. We come into the presence of God in his name, through him, on his VIP list. He says, "These people are with me. They can come because of what I have done," says Jesus. We can come to the presence of God now in prayer and knowing his care for us in everything we face. And on that final day that we've sung about, we can be welcomed into the eternal, heavenly, glorious city because Jesus will say, "These people are with me." He will acknowledge us before his Father He won't be ashamed of those who've trusted in him, who he gave himself for. And so this morning, Charlotte, as you acknowledge Jesus before others in baptism, you can trust in this promise and have confidence in what Jesus promises and the other promises he makes to those of us who know him in his word. And promises that can be for each one of us this morning if we come to Jesus and trust in him. If we come saying, yes, I haven't lived as I should have done. I don't deserve anything from you apart from to be shut out from your presence forever. But thank you, Jesus, that you gave yourself for your people, died on the cross to deal with that sin so we could be forgiven. Please put me right with God. Please forgive my sin. Please make me new. We can come to Jesus. Whatever we've done, whatever lies in our background, we can come and trust in him. Jesus goes on to say that the opposite of this is true. That if we reject Jesus, we've all heard about Jesus this morning, if we reject Jesus, then he'll reject us. If we say we don't want anything to do with this Jesus who gave himself for his people, then he will reject us, which is what we all deserve for how we've lived. But if we come to him, and as we trust in him, and acknowledge him, then he acknowledges us before his Father in heaven. We have that promise of security forever. And that's why we're excited today as a church. That's why we're excited to see Charlotte being baptized. Not just because it's something Charlotte's doing, because it reminds us of what Jesus has done. It's exciting to see Charlotte standing with Jesus and his people, declaring that Jesus is amazing, declaring her faith in the Son of God who loved her and gave himself for her, sharing that entrance into God's presence that we have through him, celebrating because of that great human achievement that he achieved when he gave himself for his people at the cross. That's why we're celebrating today. And that's why we're really glad that all of you could join us as we celebrate together. I'm going to pray once more, and then we'll sing and go into the water after that. So let's pray.